Blog Talk Radio.
Hi and hello. This is Rob Rourke of Rob Rourke of Texas. And as we like to say, we'd like to talk a little politics, but we also like to hear what you have to say. Because to us, that's what matters the most. And hey, we've got some issues we're going to talk about. We're going to rehash a few things and over the next half hour. And we're also going to talk about some interesting event that happened yesterday in New Orleans. So, you know, let's get started. You know, I'm in this political campaign for Congressional District 22 seat. To make a difference, make a new difference in Washington. Do I have all the answers? Well, that's why I'm here online advocating, arguing a point for your support. And hey, if you are listening, and hopefully you are, that number here, if you got an opinion, is 718-664-9825. Again, that's 718-664-9825. You know, as far as my campaign, we are talking about some of this. We're going to talk about some heavy issues. We're going to talk about education and how we can make reforms and how more progressive, more active, more advocating for a change in education versus that of the opposition in this political campaign. The incumbent, Pete Olson. You know how I stand. I believe we can make changes in education. We can improve education as a result. By giving the states more responsibilities, allowing teachers to actually teach, which means an influx of new and better teachers. Not that the ones we have now are not that good. They're just bogged down by red tape. And if you think about it, education should be a priority. But does it need to be a cabinet position? As in government overreach. The Department of Education is a great example of bureaucratic red tape. And I'm not trying to put down the memory of Lyndon Johnson, who was a very big advocate for public education. Matter of fact, the building in Washington is named the Lyndon Baines Johnson Department of Education building. The idea is we want to improve and we want to adjust. Like a lot of things, we want to adjust to the changing times in education and the changing times of America, or shall I say, in America. We can do it by redefining the status of the DOE, Department of Education, down to, you see, folks, my main argument, my main gripe about this topic is that every time we have a new president elected, they're going to come in with a whole new agenda. That means a new agenda in every part of the government. Every cabinet position, they start over from scratch. If you think about it, it means more red tape, new red tape, basically, and more bureaucracy. So if we redefine the status of the Department of Education to that of an Office of Education, we can give them one objective, and that's to build a framework of education. Set things in motion, streamline their operation. So where maybe, you know, my thing is this, one kid, one child that can fall through the cracks is one too many. One student that drops out because they don't understand, basically because they don't understand, is one too many. We need to have a plan that emphasizes a challenge to our students. Now, look at the testing that we go through, our students go through in Texas and across the nation, the achievement test. They're given every year. Matter of fact, I've got an old newspaper dated March 1st, 2012, and it was a quote out of an article by Lisa Falkenberg. I've probably heard her say it a few times. Anyone who tells you they are not teaching the test is either a liar or a PE teacher. And that was quoted from a teacher in Fort Bend ISD. And I said, and I respond to that. It's sad for the fact that there are teachers out there that feel like they are they're actually teaching the test. Will things change from that? Or will they remain the same? Well, as long as we have a federal guidelines for every state to follow, and they're going to change with every new presidential administration, we've got a problem here. This is the problem. So if we make the Department of Education a general government office of education, or a double OE, yes, I have seen one too many James Bond movies, so the point is not that. The point is the children that we're trying to educate and make their education better. That's the idea. So if we make that a regular government office, there will not be a change every 4 to 8 years. Give them one objective: to build a single framework of education, and let that single framework go to the states, to the local districts, for their tweaking, so to speak. So, you know, it's not up to the government on how this framework. This is the difference. This is not about how the U.S. government will tell the schools how to operate, how to teach. That is for the state boards of education to decide and implement. That's for the local school districts to implement. And that's for the teachers to implement. I like to call this trickle-down education. But the thing is, we need to set a standards. We need a set of standards that will challenge our students. We need to bring about an emphasis in English, history, and science, and of course math. It's too easy for when kids are given the calculators to work. It's too easy. But then you go and add things like Common Core that makes you want to work out every step in every way possible. And believe me, if I stepped on somebody's toes on that point alone, please call me. That number again is 718-664-9825. But I say, you know, I learned going through K through 12 at Galveston Independent School District. I learned memorized my multiplication and division tables without a calculator. What's wrong with that? I worked as a substitute teacher at GISD. And I saw kids when I showed them a different way, a different approach to solving a simple multiplication problem like 9 times 7. I had one assignment where in an elementary school where I was kind of a roving instructor. I helped kids that had problems, needed a little extra help. And that was it was made interesting for the fact that there was this one little kid, and I wish I could remember his name right now, because the smile on his face that I got as a result was enough to remember. And this was like, you know, 10 plus years ago. Or as if you watch two Star Wars movies in a galaxy far, far away. No, but the point is, he could not figure out for the life of him what 9 times 7 was. So I quickly thought, okay, I ran this by How many points is a touchdown plus a point after? He said 7. I said, okay, let's count off 7, 9 sevens and put them together. So it went 9, 18, all the way down. And then when we got to 6, I got to the last one. Okay, what's the next number? Kind of paused for a moment. And it was like you could tell when it dawned on him what the answer was. It's like one could almost see that light go off above his head. And he was so grateful. It was just, his smile is the only way I can describe how grateful he looked, how happy he looked, that he learned something. And a child is not going to get that with a calculator, especially in elementary school. Maybe introduce calculators in middle school, but not in grade school, not in elementary school. We can do a lot of things. But where do you stand, Pete? That's a big question. Where do you, for everyone, where do you stand? Oh, yeah, I remember the voucher system, which is problematic. School choice. If you don't like this school, send them. We get to send you to a private school. You know, the only thing I'd say that is good about that system is it makes a lot more sense than the libertarian idea, which was making it a business. I have a plan. I'd like to debate you on it. So when we get past the primaries, just say when and where. And let's talk. Let's debate. Because this is a time for leadership, Pete. This is not a time to go party line. This what my way or the highway approach is violating the idea of the Constitution. Or we'll say one could say it. The idea of freedom of speech, Pete. Because if we're going to point fingers, you know, if we're going to say, oh, yeah, the Republicans agreed to a budget. Well, we got a problem. That Republican Congress is also now threatening once again to shut down the government unless changes aren't made to fit their way. There's got to be common ground, Pete. And that's not talking about my way or the highway. And let's think about that, Pete. And out to everyone out there, you got an opinion. Please think about it. That number is 718-664-9825. Let's look at a little bit of a different subject right now. I just got wind of this yesterday afternoon, kind of late last night. Well, I just gotten off of work at about 8 o'clock. And so I just was looking and I come across this. Texas voter ID law, federal appeals court strikes down 2011 Texas law. This U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said Wednesday the law, which requires Texans to show ID before voting, carries a discriminatory effect and violates the Voter Rights Act, or Voting Rights Act. Well, you know, I'm going to go and read off of some of these, but again, that number, call and voice your opinion. Call and voice your opinion to that. And that number is 718-664-9825. Voice your opinion. What do you think about that? The voting, Texas voter ID law. is discriminatory. You know, even the Texas Democratic Party has this opinion. I agree with it. Today's ruling is a victory for every Texan. The Republican voter ID law is discriminatory and made harder for African Americans and Latinos to cast their vote at the ballot box. Well, while that is a straightforward political statement, it makes sense. If you're going to discriminate against someone who, just because they don't have the proper ID, well, not because for some reason, you have a reason to make it harder for somebody to not voice their opinion. There's something wrong with that, period. Something very wrong with that. Okay. We need, you know, the idea of the Voting Rights Act and now striking down the voter ID law in Texas. You know, the idea of all this was to make sure everyone voiced their opinion, you know, as in freedom of speech and expression. But marking a ballot, we're expressing our opinion. We're voicing our opinion. We are saying to the world, this is what we think. Let's see what time we got left. Hey, we got about 13 minutes to go, so let's get back to this. So let me read some of these and tell me what you think. Well, of course, Governor Abbott's going to have his opinion about it. Oh, good grief, there's. Let me get back to them. Just 1 second now. Top post. Here's some posting now. See what comes up. Oh, well, I have the top postings. Shows how much I am paying attention. I apologize to that. Pardon me. Let me grab a swig of water. Okay. Ron B. Palmer. This says to the point, he did it through NPR, it was just recently he did it. He said it this way, Texas just never seems to learn. Well, I'm sorry, that part I got a little problem with. Texas, you must follow the Constitution, it limits state power. Okay, here's one. Let's see. Sign a petition. Tell Congress it's now time to protect voters. Restore the VRA today. In June 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court gutted the Voter Rights Act. Since then, states and localities around the country have been making changes to discriminate against voters based solely on the color of skin and language they speak. This is coming from a Pamela Bradford Trafton, the Jacksonville, North Carolina NC alumni chapter of Delta Sigma Theta sorority. It's 2 minutes ago. Yes, we have to restore the Voter Rights Act. It shouldn't be discriminatory based on the color of one's skin or how they speak. And here's one dated, today is the 6th. It is the anniversary of the signing of the Voter Rights Act. Here's one from Ralph Sutton. On this day, August 6, 1965, Lyndon B. Johnson signs Voter Rights Act of 1965 into law. The National Voting Rights Act of 1965 outlawed discriminatory practices that have been responsible for widespread disenfranchising of African Americans in the United States. Yeah. Let's see, what else can we find? Here's an interesting one, and I think it is very pertinent to today. And so, you know, I also toss this into, what do you think, Pete? What do you think about that? I'm voicing opinions of the people and saying, showing how wrong the Texas Voter Right Act, Voter ID Act was wrong. And yeah, I may not have gotten into this in the past, but you know, right now it's kind of pertinent because we're talking about, you and I are both basically the leading candidates for your seat. And you know, folks, one thing I've always felt like saying is that we can learn a lesson or two from history as we ponder the few thoughts of our future. Well, this statement kind of goes to that. And I hope you're listening, Pete. Time to fight the return of Jim Crow and attempts to redefine citizenship to just people with perfect documentation and lots of free time. Restrictions that conveniently skew to white property owners. Well, there was a time when whites could only vote, or the only ones that voted. There was a time. That was the Jim Crow era. We need to go beyond that. Yes, there are problems. You know, if you want to talk racism, let's talk racism, but let's leave that as a different show. And frankly, I need to check my time here. There's 1 second. I've got about 7.5 minutes. I was going to go to another topic, but, you know, let's talk about this a little more. There are problems in this country when it comes to race. And the fact that we are looking at the idea of shutting something down that's wrong, that's because it was mean, that was meant to act upon one's race and culture, or against them, I should say, in honor of the fact that today, like as in today, is being the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. Now, Mr. Johnson had a reputation, an interesting reputation, but he also did a lot in a short period of time in the White House. So we have to give him credit for that. The Great Society may have had its flaws, but it helped bring the country closer together in the long run. And this decision by the Court of Appeals in New Orleans, from what I understand, is the toughest Court of Appeals in the country, says a lot. So, one can say, is this an issue that should be just, you know, people like Pete Olson can probably say the government does not have any right to say anything. Well, guess what, Pete, it does, because we're talking about something that deals with the Constitution, the right to freedom of speech and expression. That's how I'm spinning this, because we are voicing our opinions. We should not tell anybody they cannot vote because of the color of their skin or the way they speak. We should tell them, come, vote, register and vote. And anyone out there, if you're 18 or older, I don't care whether you're African American, Latino American, Oriental, or even Muslim American, please go out and register to vote. Voice your opinion that way. And when it comes to primary elections, vote. You know, I'm going to say at this one, I've got probably just a couple minutes left. I know I've talked so much. Actually, 4 minutes and 45 seconds, it looks like. I'm going to stop, I'm going to make it this point. I have an election coming up a primary in March, but a campaign cannot work on thoughts and free airtime alone. This is going to be a hard election for me because I'm the underdog. I'm the new kid on the block, so to speak. And right now I'm trying to introduce myself to Congressional District 22. And I'm doing as much as I can as the time permits. I'm on this show. I'm walking some of the blocks around my neighborhood and saying, "Hi, my name's Rob Rourke. I'm running for Congress, and I just wanted to introduce myself." But I believe in that. I believe in the idea of talking one-on-one, debating one-on-one, and believing in what the people have to say. It's like with a show. We'd like to hear what you have to say, simply because that's what matters. That's what matters. Not only does it matter to us, it should matter to you. And if you want to call in. If you want to shoot me an email at rob@robroorke.us. That's robroorke.us. Please do it. If you have a business card that I handed out, call me on that cell number. But please leave a message. I may not be able to answer it all the time because I may be at work. And they don't they're not too thrilled with that. You're right in the middle of work and I'm getting a phone call. So if you know, and I think a lot of us know what I'm getting at. So if you can, shoot me a message, text me a message, send me one on Twitter, shoot me an email, call me on my cell, but please leave a message. Pardon me, I apologize. You know, one thing about Southeast Texas, I love it dearly. But it seems like when the flowers bloom at a certain time, the winds kind of kick up, and the heat sets in. A lot of us are going, or coughing, or blowing our noses, sneezing, in general. And right now, I'm caught in the middle of that. But hey, I'm coming up on the 90-second mark in a couple minutes. But I wanted to say, we're going to be back next week. Maybe a different time, so please check Facebook. Check Twitter even. I'm going to start putting it on there. But just check the internet, social media, and we'll talk. I love you too, darling. I'll be back on the air. We're going to continue talking. We're going to continue talking about education. We're going to talk about family values. We might even talk about taxes. Yeah, because frankly, I kind of like to learn. I got a few ideas. But hey, I also want to take this time and hopefully a little lady in this Commonwealth of Virginia. Thank you. It's not a listen, so I just want to give out a shout out to my favorite shortcake. Papa Rob loves you and always will. Don't ever forget that, darling. So to the rest of y'all, just stay cool. It is probably hot as heck, and then they're predicting triple digits over the next couple of days. So stay cool. Check the social media for times and dates of Rob Rourke of Texas. And I'm going to say good day. And good evening. And take care of Texas. I'll be back soon. Bye.